Have you ever wondered why you aren't getting the results, relationships, or life that you want, or why some of your clients run into the same problems? I'm certified life coach Lindsay Pullman, and I'm here to tell you that there's nothing wrong with you. There's just more to understand about the multifaceted beauty of the human body. I believe that being trauma-informed is an essential standard of care for coaches, and I'm here to support life coaches who recognize that there is so much more than mindset work when it comes to supporting ourselves and our clients responsibly. So glad you're here. Come on in.
Okay, everyone, we got Kathy Kinghorn in the house. Kathy.
Hey, guys.
How are you today?
I am doing well here in sunny Utah.
Yeah, good, 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 good. I always love Kathy's rooms that she teaches from because she bounces around from different offices. You have a St. George office, is that right?
Yes.
St. George office, Lehigh office, and then you are creating a home office, a really nice one, is that right?
Yeah, I'm trying to make it. I was going to do a really cool feature wall, and I'm still considering what that looks like. And I brought home a plank of Douglas fir. My husband's like, are you kidding me? I was like, yeah, I want that as a shelf. I'm in a negotiation period right now with that, Lindsay.
Oh, man. Hey, it's your office, your rules. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right.
But maybe I'm not kidding. Okay, so before we get into what we're talking about today, first of all, I'm so looking forward to people getting to know you better because Kathy is involved in our relationship trauma certification for coaches. And she just has so much wisdom, which we'll get into. But before we do that, tell us, is there something fun about us, about you, that you can tell us that not a lot of people know?
Let's see. I am something fun. I'm the unfun one because I'm like direct and let's get to the point. But I love the beach, and weirdly, I'm a very good swimmer. I grew up in the water, maybe, and that's probably what certainly influenced it for sure. Mm-hmm. And so I like kind of testing myself out in the waves, and it is the one place where usually my husband's the crazy one or does something, but he gets really nervous when I'm out in the ocean, and I'm completely calm. I'm completely... Like, I feel like I've got the skills. I know what to do if I get a little too far out. And so I don't know if that's fun about me, but I realized that the other day, it's interesting to see him nervous and me just being totally at peace. So I would be a beach bum if I could.
You mean it's coming your way at some point?
Yes, yes.
My husband gets afraid with skiing because when we were dating, I got in a pretty big ski accident. And so now anytime there's some sort of, and I say big, I didn't break anything. I do have some scarring, but I didn't break anything. But now anytime there's like downhill stuff involved, like whether it's biking, rollerblading, skiing, he's always like, remember, you take care of yourself. So kind of funny. Okay, so Kathy, tell everybody, I know I could introduce you, but I just would love to hear in your words, like tell everybody in your words, what is your title, your elevator pitch? What do you tell people when they ask you about who you are and what you do?
Gosh, I try to keep it on the down low what I do usually. But I would say that I've started to say more, Lindsay, that I'm a business owner because I've realized that I take a lot of really healthy pride in the fact that I've been able to move into that realm and, you know, buy a building and have it successful and to lead women. I'm passionate about leading women to whatever their path is. And so I am a therapist. I'm the clinical director of Therapy Utah and part owner in Therapy Utah. I specialize in sexual addiction and betrayal trauma. And I'm a business owner. We just bought another business. And I told my husband, the one criteria is I want 51%. I want it to be a women-owned business. And he's like, I'm okay with that. It's okay. So there we go.
That's awesome. Okay, so what's the other business? Can you tell us yet?
It's called Saraset, and it's pretty amazing. It just relaxes your brain enough for it to heal itself. And it's a closed circuit, like neurofeedback tries to do things, EMDR from the outside, therapist mm-hmm. from the outside mm-hmm. in. This actually is a closed circuit where you put sensors on somebody's head, and it's really amazing. We just had a client that had a TBI and slept for the first time in 12 years, and his anxiety was manageable. And so it's really this on the cutting edge of neuroscience and new things that we're learning about our brain. So
that's remarkable. And tell everyone what a TBI is for people who...
A traumatic brain injury.
That's incredible. That's so cool. Okay, so when did you become, because a lot of the therapy that you have done with, you know, sexual addiction and betrayal trauma, I would say there's a lot of trauma there, right? So what is it that made you become more fascinated about the line of work that you do?
I was 20 years in the corporate world before I became a therapist. And when I first, you know, you do your internship and it gives you exposure to a lot of different populations, children, mm-hmm. Individuals in poverty. That my degree's in social work. And so there was that track of helping the underadvantaged. And so what I learned was when you really, really listen to somebody's story, the trauma shows up again and again and again. And I truly know that we learn from our trauma, but most of the time we need a little bit of help to a lot of help as we have to learn what our trauma can teach us, how it can inform our future plans. And so trauma just seemed to me the path to understand. If I was going to try to really deep dive on anything, mm-hmm. it was going to be trauma.
And what have you found since you've done that?
That the good news is that yes, I think every human walking on the earth has faced some kind of challenge, mm-hmm. and that they are solvable. But there's not a benefit to thinking, I'm going to handle this on my own, and when I get done, I'll let everybody know I'm done with it. You know, that isolation doesn't help heal. And so what I've learned is it really does, that social connection. We know we're wired for connection, that we need each other. And the best place to show up for each other is just given space to just be a witness of people's stories. And once they feel seen and safe and heard, so much movement can happen, and they get in and they know their own pace at it. Mm-hmm. So you can have a lot of movement, and yet it can feel like, oh, it's been 3 years. What am I doing? And it's like, you're moving, you're making progress, and it's your space and your time. So,
yeah, I love that. So here's a question for you, because I think you probably see this in your realm of experience as well, with the experience that you've had as a trauma therapist. What are confusing things about trauma that, like, a lot of people don't understand? And what are the common, you know, I know there's lots of overlaps and layers and things like that, but what are some common things that people experience that are traumatic that people don't know are traumatic?
You know, that just made me think, and I'll try to keep this story brief, but I think it illustrates it. An example of a good question: how do we maybe not see trauma? Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of times that is so misdiagnosed, misinterpreted, misunderstood. So about a year ago, my son and his wife went on a little trip, and my little granddaughter, who knew me kind of, but she was still a little bit shy. Anyway, I ended up watching her overnight, mm-hmm. and she was just exceptionally good. Like, it was, you know, she was like, I put her to bed, she went to bed, I told her, you know, don't get into this, she stopped. She was about, let's see, 18 to 20, about 20 months old. Mm-hmm. And I was just blown away at how good she was. We went on the ride up to the airport and she hardly said anything. And we get out and she sees mom and dad. And of course, she runs to them and she's holding on to them. And the entire way home, she was just jabbering. Mm-hmm. I realized, Lindsay, in her little mind, she had no idea. Her mom is a stay-at-home mom, mm-hmm. and she's with her 24/7. So if you think about it, you've got a little one who's never been separated from her mom for longer than truly like 3 or 4 hours, has now been separated. Her one grandma took her the first night, and then I took her the second, for 48 hours. Mm-hmm. And I realized that she wasn't just being good. She was in freeze mode. She was totally like, I don't know where my mom is. I can't find my mom. She had no idea she was safe with me because it didn't feel mm-hmm. safe because mom wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And so it just struck me how often that we misinterpret good behavior that really could very well, I do believe she was having a trauma response to just not knowing where mom was. And the evidence was as soon as she saw mom and dad, she was able to overcome that. Oh, okay, I'm safe now. Now, if her life had been really unpredictable, she may have continued being really good, mm-hmm. really quiet, really obedient, really trying to be less seen. Mm-hmm. But because of her history with mom, it was a very easy repair. Mm. So trauma, I think, shows up when in places like people pleasing. It shows up in places like not sharing your opinion. You know, it shows up in places where we have to share our opinion and it has to be, everybody has to see it. So it goes both ways, right? It can have that fight response as well. And we can think, geez, that person just, you know, won't listen to anything. They're going to die on that hill. And you're like, well, wait a minute. What's behind that story? Mm-hmm. So if you really want to look through the lens of trauma, it's not the story that's being told. Usually, it's the story behind the story. Listen for that story. And you'll see more evidence of not only more evidence, but it will also just broaden your compassion. Mm-hmm. For people that show up really different than you and people that show up the same.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like we could do a whole podcast episode, and maybe we will.
Yeah.
On, you know, if we treat, when we see certain types of behavior, whether it's erratic or not erratic, if we kind of like treat it from a trauma lens versus like, oh my gosh, what is the word that's coming to my mind? More like a, you know, a diagnosis type lens, like let's diagnose this, you know, what would be different if we focus on that first, if there's something there versus just kind of, seeing everything as something to diagnose.
Mm-hmm. 100% agree with that.
So that could be a fun one. And that would definitely be one where I would want to be the one interviewing you, of course, because you know, for you as a clinician, that's probably something that you see a lot as well. So yeah. And I think that can be so important to recognize and I think that's just cool that you became as interested as you did in trauma, because I think a lot of times it's almost like just really getting at the root of people's behavior, the thing behind the thing behind the thing behind the thing. Mm-hmm. And being there for people when they're ready to approach it, right? Because not everyone's ready to go there session one.
Right, right. And you know, I have found, and this isn't really, I don't know that this is broadly accepted, but this is just my experience. There's some places that some people don't need to go. Mm-hmm. That sometimes I think as therapists, we can be a little voyeuristic. It's like, oh, wow, that happened. Tell me your story because I'm interested in this story, not necessarily in whether or not you need to share the story. Mm-hmm. And so if you have somebody that's has had significant trauma, they will very quickly read the room and go, oh, to please this therapist, I need to tell this story over here so that I look good or they like me or I'm accepted. And you can completely miss what the client needs if you're looking at what you need out of it.
Yeah. And especially if the client has had any conditioning around authority figures where they feel like if they see therapists or coaches or, you know, anyone, you know, that they're paying for services or just in their world that they see as authority figures, that can kind of, that can get confusing for them. And then again, it's not acting in the best interest for them. And so that can be, I think, as any person who's offering services to humans, just being really like, just really recognizing, you know, let's make sure we're acting, you know, in their best interest. Is this what they want? Do they know that they can say no? Like, I'm not ready to go there. Right. And, you know, you can even, I think it's really powerful as therapists or coaches to recognize that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People, you really can't have an agenda in it. Mm-hmm. You certainly need, you need to guide people. They really want to come in and be guided. Mm-hmm. But you have to check your personal agenda at the door if you want to be as effective as you can be.
Well, and that's one thing that I like about, you know, the way society or humans kind of view therapy. I feel like when people sign up for therapy, they see it as more like, hey, it's like more of a journey type thing. I'm going on this journey thing. And it's just like, there doesn't have to be like an agenda to get somewhere by a specific time. Maybe not in every case, but generally speaking, I see that more with therapy than with coaching. Sometimes I think, you know, in coaching industry, people can get promised like certain results really quick and things like that. And so that's one thing that I really like that seems to come across more. And I could be totally wrong. You'll have to tell me what you see, but in the therapy industry where it's like, hey, what if we just take things as they come? You know, where are you today? How can we meet you where you're at? And I'm seeing more of a shift of that in the coaching industry, which is really great. But I think it's important to let people go at their body's timelines and recognize that there's no right or wrong way to do that.
Yeah. And I think we could put in our notes, Lindsay, to do one just on safety, you know, on that, right? Because I think as you and I both work with clients, something that's in both of our minds is how do I create safety here? Mm-hmm. And there's a variety of ways to do that. But once somebody feels safe, then it's just a game changer. And we can believe they're safe because we know we're safe. Mm-hmm. I knew I was safe to my granddaughter. And so it just did not occur to me at all, right? But it's okay if they don't believe we're safe yet. That's okay. Right. And we get it, allow them. And I think as I've watched you with coaching your clients, Lindsay, I think that's one of your strengths is that you give them that space to go, let's check out our safety here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I love what you said about like the agenda thing too, because for me, the only agenda I want to have is for clients to become more attuned to their intuition if that's what they want. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like safety, consent, and whatnot. And I don't want to have an agenda for them to have these certain specific end results if that's not what they want. Right. And so again, I think the more grounded we are in ourselves as coaches and therapists, the more we can kind of release that and recognize that they get to be where they're at and there's nothing wrong with them being where they're at. They're just right where they are. And the more we can meet them where they are, and like you said, set up an environment that really fosters that safety, the more they're going to be able to kind of like open up and orient and explore where they want to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So here's I'm purposely wording this question in a way that kind of sounds, that sounds kind of either or-y, even though I don't believe that this is the case for every therapist. But let's just say that I was someone off the street, you know, coming off the street and I learned that you were a therapist, you know, and like ask you this question, I would love to hear what you have to say. Why don't some therapists like coaches? And we're gonna flip it, y'all. So we're gonna flip it. Don't worry. The goal here, which you're gonna see, everyone's gonna see, is the goal here is to bridge the gap, really bridge this gap and bring collaboration between coaches and therapists. And we'll tell you more why we think that's so important. But I think it can't hurt to approach some of this stuff too. So why don't some therapists like coaches?
I think because oftentimes it's one place where there's just a confirmation bias. We always have that one story, right? Of this terrible thing that happened with this one coach. And then we're like, yeah, that's, and I think, so there's that, that we have that. And I think when we flip it, we'll say the same about therapists. And also I think there's a lot of therapists that are fear-based. It's like coaches are going to take all of my clients and take them away from me. So there's a lot of fear in that. And whether they recognize it, I think the therapists in that space wouldn't even recognize it as fear. Mm-hmm. But you'll hear them say things like, they'll bring up the one or two or five examples they have. And they'll say, you know, it's an unregulated industry and they've done nothing. They haven't spent the years in academia to get where we're at, which is ironic because if you ask probably any good therapist, they'll say, college did not prepare me for the therapy office. So there's that irony, I suppose. But I think if you get to the core of it, mm-hmm. Lindsay, I think it's fear. Mm. And I don't want to like completely throw my tribe under the bus. I would say that there's also a fear that the client's needs would not get met. Mm-hmm. And they are trying to guide clients to the approach that they believe is going to be the most helpful for the client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so for you, because I don't think you mentioned this earlier, but for everyone listening, Kathy trains therapists as well. And for, trauma-informed therapists and things like that. You can correct me if there's a better way to word that, but I know that you train therapists. So how do you support, if you were training a group of therapists and you heard, you know, this kind of talk, what would your response be to validate that, but also what would your response be?
If I was in it, that's a great question, Lindsay. If I was with the therapist I train, I would start with asking the question, do we value a holistic approach? Just genuinely, I want to know, guys, do you value a holistic approach? Mm-hmm. And if we're good at what we do, there really is only one answer. Yes, we do. We should value this holistic approach. And so I have a yoga instructor that's trauma-informed yoga instructor. And so I talk about that relationship where I have some of my clients that feel comfortable going to her in that powerful exchange. Mm-hmm. I also have a mindfulness coach mm-hmm. that I specialize with, I love the model of internal family systems. Mm-hmm. And I had this client come in and he was just very anxious, very depressed. And I said, look, I want to work with you in a really specific way. And it's going to take scheduling here, but I want you to see this mindfulness coach and then immediately come into a session with me. And exponentially, his healing was exponential. And he said, she taught me such amazing things to do to get centered, to get ready. And so there wasn't a threat like, maybe I should have taught him that. It's like, no, stay in your lane. I've referred clients to Danny and to you with the coaching things. Sometimes I would say, I guess, and this is kind of an aside, but clients, when they're ready to move forward and look at just healthy living, it's mm-hmm. the perfect time to refer them to you and Danny to kind of do the handoff. It's like, now you get them to that you know, that space that you guys are so good at. So I would give my team a lot of examples of where that holistic approach is so much more valuable for your client. And then I would say, so let's talk about your fears. What's your worst fear? You know, that your client, so I've talked to this about my team. They'll say that they don't, I guess my fear is that I've let them down. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we talk about that. I guess my fear is that I should have seen some of the things that they learn, and they've got to go to so many different places, it'll seem disjointed to them. I've never had that be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do partner with coaches that I trust and have the same kind of just principled background,
mm-hmm.
as far as what's healthy living.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, I really love energy work. And so there's a space where they're not really in the coaching field, but mm-hmm. I've had clients partner with a couple of people that are fabulous at energy work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked to my team about that what I try to do is just normalize it. One of the things that attracted me to your offer of working with you is that we're kind of trying to just break down this stereotype of there's two camps, which one are you in, and mm-hmm. just talk trash on the other one. You know, it's like you and I are just what we were just talking about. It. We're ambassadors of this new framework
mm-hmm.
that we're going to learn from coaches and therapists are going to be collaborative going forward.
Yeah. And to me, that it's the collaboration that provides stability for the client that I think clients deserve if that's what they need. And I think it plays into hand the idea that, you know, healing isn't linear, right? And so there might be times where, you know, my husband's out, he's pretty open about his healing journey. In the beginning of his healing journey or his awakening, which he calls it, lots of therapy. So much therapy. Different modalities of therapy. He started with a general therapist and then he went to like an anxiety therapist and then, you know, even more specialized and then EMDR, like all the things. And then he went to coaching and just like took off, continued to take off and, you know, got to this place where, you know, and again, this is not the goal. I always tell, you know, coaches and clients, this isn't the goal, but he got to this place where he was able to kind of wean himself off some of his medication and things like that. Which again, not always the goal, but he, with where he was at, it was working. And then this last year, he had some more trauma come up and he was like, I think it's time for me to, you know, go back to therapy. And I don't know why we say back to therapy, but go back to therapy and, you know, get on some medication again. And I absolutely don't see that as backtracking. It's just like recognizing healing and growth, it is not linear. And there, you know, an end goal doesn't have to be coaching or therapy or whatnot, because it's just as stuff comes up, as trauma comes up or other things, it just doesn't have to mean that anything's gone wrong. And so just the way that he knows himself so well and is so attuned to what he needs, I think is so beautiful. And I think the more that we can recognize that in our healing journeys, we don't have to be like, oh, I'm back in therapy or, oh, like, why doesn't coaching work for me? You know, all of those things, when it's more just like, oh, I'm a human. What does my body need right now? You know, and maybe it's the combination of therapy and energy work or, you know, something else like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking about a client. I think three, four weeks ago, I'd asked you if you're taking a client because she's a high level executive.
Mm-hmm.
And she's burned out in the corporate world. And she said, Kathy, I know this sounds crazy, but I think I want to pursue being a coach. And she's very well equipped for that.
Mm-hmm.
And who would be better to just do Q&A with her and help her down that path? It would certainly be you, right? Because you've done that path. You've been in the corporate world. You just have walked it. And it's like, she's ready to go. And it's exciting. Yeah. And it's just a, don't you find too, Lindsay, that it just frees our mind up? Like when we don't have to protect our territory or we don't have to, it just frees our mind up.
Well, and go ahead. What were you going to say?
It makes anything possible that, you know.
Yeah. And I think some of this, and I love that you talked about, you know, how sometimes when you were talking about what some of your, you know, therapist trainees might say, like, oh, maybe I missed something or I didn't do enough or this or that. And again, you could put everything you said, coaches might actually say the same things, right?
True.
Maybe I failed them. Maybe I didn't do enough, where it's like, no, like, what if it's different? What if it's different than that? Right. And what if they met you where they were at and then they were ready to move to something else? It doesn't have to be a failure as people continue to come and pass through to and through you on their way to healing. And I think the more as practitioners that we can release the hold or the myth that there's one modality to healing, the more that people are going to be able to map out healing journeys that work for them without kind of constraining themselves to one modality.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it's done with purpose and with an open-mindedness of, it's okay to have guessed wrong. It's like, you know, I felt like this was a time when I was going to go see a therapist for a time. And, you know, I'm not sure it's time yet. Mm-hmm. You know, like Danny, I know Danny would be in a space where he goes, you know, I did think that a therapy tune-up would be really beneficial. And as it turns out, I think I'm going to go this path. It's like opening your mind to not be locked in. Well, I said I'd go, mm-hmm. You know, it just allows for that.
Yeah. And again, healing comes when we feel safety, empowerment, and we know that we have choices. And so reminding yourself that you can choose to change your mind, and we're not people pleasing our therapists or our coaches. So changing your mind about that doesn't have to mean anything about you either. So yeah, I love that so much. So good. So good. Was there anything else you wanted to say to that?
I guess I would just say we need more ambassadors. Join us in this new movement that Lindsay and I have now created.
Oh, I love it. I think it's so important and it's so paramount. And again, this is for the clients. This is for the humans, right? And so when you see NBA athletes that have teams of support, right? And that's for them to go, you know, from great to greater to great. The humans that are coming to you for help as a coach or as a therapist, like, to me, their aliveness is at stake. And sometimes their lives are at stake, right? Like, this is a life we're talking about.
Yes.
So why wouldn't we want to bring in conjunctive support or refer to help them find the support that they, you know, that they need or whatnot at that time, right? Like, these are lives. And so I really do think it matters. And my favorite therapists are the ones that believe this and see the value in both, because there are things that therapists can offer to humans that, you know, as coaches, I don't think we aren't at liberty to offer. There are things that we just don't know because we haven't had the background and the formal education that they've had in that specific way. And then I think there are things that coaches have to offer as well. And so recognizing that there is overlap, but as coaches, I would say, and as coaches, if we can see where our limitations as coaches are, where those limitations are, it actually helps us provide a better standard of care for our clients. So it doesn't have to be, you know, if we're going to talk trauma, it's like, I know there's this thing called trauma. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to know what's there. It's like not wanting to know what's under your bed or not wanting to know what's under the hood of your car. But the thing is just bringing light to those things you don't want to know can actually help you see, like, oh, this is what it looks like under the hood of the car. These are the things that I can look at and that I do know and that are within the scope of where I can support people. But anything over here, I want to make sure that they're getting that support as well.
Right. I mean, I don't treat eating disorders. Mm-hmm. So a therapist, you know, everything you said could be well applied to therapists too, Lindsay, because there's certain things. Now, mm-hmm. you can have a doctor, you can have a general practitioner that can really do a lot of things in a lot of different populations, but some situations take specialized care. And that generalist, if they're a good generalist, they absolutely are assessing for that and moving that person to the right fit. And so I think as coaches and therapists, as we assess for that and we look at it, the best thing to do is start networking. Like if you have a trusted therapist, that's great. Now, see if you can find another one. See if you can find, you know, three or four and talk to them. And it's okay to be rigorously honest and say, reaching out to you was hard for me because I'm scared that you're going to be better than me and take my client, right? Man, if you can trust them at that level and they can just support you saying that, mm-hmm. there's a person that you're going to feel a lot more comfortable helping a person on their journey with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what it also does is it facilitates my belief in just the abundance of everything. Right. And so we don't need to get into this either or zero sum game where if just because this therapist can help this person in this way means I've failed them in this way. It doesn't have to be that. It's like we have our unique gifts and talents based on who we are and therapists as well. And, you know, if I knew I could have the most amazing chocolate chip cookie by combining, you know, chocolate chips from the States, chocolate from France, eggs from France, flour from France, butter from France, but brown sugar from America, which I did this yesterday, y'all, and it was so good. New York Times chocolate chip cookie recipe, got all the French ingredients in the way that I like it, but with the things that I can't get here, like brown sugar and certain types of chocolate chips, why not? Like, why not combine it, right? And so it doesn't have to be that way for everyone, but I think it just buys into this trusting abundance that I have in these different healing communities and whatnot. And I think it does get modeled energetically to our clients as well, which I think really matters.
That's so crazy. I was literally just going to say that to you, Lindsay. We're modeling a beautiful collaborative experience with people that have had trauma. Collaboration can be very, very difficult, challenging for sure. We'll put that for another episode. Trust us here. It can be. And right. Just for them to go, wait a minute, you're a therapist and you don't hate coaches. Wow. You know, so yes, it absolutely models for them that it's okay to have a collaborative healing team.
Yeah, I love that so much. Well, this has been such a great conversation. Is there anything else that you would want to offer today to anybody listening?
Gosh, I don't think so, except that now I have like 10 different podcasts in my brain, Lindsay. And every time I get with you, that happens. And so,
well, here we go. Just meet for a day and bust them all out.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening. And Kathy, thank you so much for being here. I love your wisdom and expertise and your openness. I think it's so helpful for coaches too, to feel safe talking to therapists too. And that's one thing that I noticed in our relationship trauma certification for coaches that we ran our first cohort that we ran. It was for the coaches there. It was just like, oh, I can breathe. I can relax. I can ask this therapist anything without thinking I'm blah, 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 blah. And so again, it's just such a lovey, connected way to facilitate safety for coaches so that coaches can learn too as well. So yes, thank you so much, Kathy. We will be back, and everyone have a wonderful day. So are you ready to become a part of our forever community of trauma-informed coaches?
go to lindseypullman.com and see if my advanced certification is a fit for you. And we ready to heal is what we pursuing. Coaches change lives, it's what we doing. This the place to be, no need to panic, see. Nah. We got each other's backs in this healing community. Yeah. Wanna know the facts? It's simple. When we coming together, yeah, we got unity.